Martin City Council will come back from recess. It's Wednesday, 2 p.m. on April 28th, 2012. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Adams?
Here. We have a very special agenda item before we get into the other business of the day, and that is to recognize someone who was very special to this city, region, and state. And we also have among our membership here someone who served in the state legislature, Commissioner Randy Leonard. And I'm going to read the proclamation and then ask that Commissioner Leonard also say a few words, and we're very lucky to be joined by Ben's family, and we welcome you to the City Council and friends and co-workers. We welcome you here, and we're more than honored to provide this recognition to the great person and the great work that Ben Westland did for so many people. So whereas Ben Westland had a number of successful private sector businesses, including a mining venture, marketing program, Eastern Oregon Cattle Ranch, and cattle genetics operations before he entered public service. And whereas Ben Westland served Oregon as a Republican, an independent, and a Democrat during his legislative career, attesting to his philosophy of putting Oregon's needs above partisan politics and personal interests, he was the first elected Oregon House of Representatives, his first elected in 1996 as a Republican from Central Oregon. In 2003, he was appointed to the Senate and won a full-term election in 2004. And in 2006, he ran for governor as an independent candidate, but ultimately withdrew from the race and subsequently endorsed the current governor. In 2006, he became a Democrat, and in 2007 announced his run for state treasurer. He won the race for state treasurer in 2008. And whereas Ben Westland co-chaired the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, a critical legislative committee responsible for drafting the state's budget, during Oregon's 2001-2002 fiscal crisis, his passion for finding a way to help Oregon attain a higher level of financial stability led him to co-author groundbreaking legislation creating the state's Rainy Day Fund. And whereas Ben Westland led efforts to create the Oregon Cultural Trust, understanding the importance of helping Oregon arts and culture and historical preservation programs and so that they would continue to thrive. He was also the author of legislation that created the Oregon Public Safety Memorial Fund, which provides financial assistance to the families of public safety officers who are killed or injured in the line of duty. And whereas Ben Westland was the chief legislative advocate for creating the Cascades campus of Oregon State University in Bend to provide higher education opportunities for Central Oregonians. And whereas Ben Westland led efforts to protect Central Oregon's Metolius River, one of Oregon's premier natural resources, in order to ensure that this special place will be pristine for generations to come. And whereas Ben Westland was a believer in equal rights for all, despite strong opposition while a Republican, he co-sponsored legislation in 2005 that allowed same-sex Oregon couples to form civil unions and protected gay, lesbian, transgender individuals from discrimination. The language of his measure passed during the 2007 legislative session. And whereas Ben Westland was elected state treasurer in 2008, during his short tenure as state treasurer, Ben Westland received national recognition for his commitment to investment transparency, for leading the effort to stabilize the Oregon College Savings Plan. And Ben Westland and the Oregon 529 College Savings Board filed a lawsuit with the Oregon Attorney General's Office and recovered $20 million in legal settlement on behalf of the families of those who are saving for their children's future. Whereas Ben Westland's work on behalf of Oregonians was outmatched by his devotion to his family. His legacy leaves a loving father and he leaves a legacy as a loving father and a husband who called home every night at 8 p.m. when he was in the state capitol to say goodnight to his family. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, and the City of Roses, hereby proclaim April 28, 2010, as a day of recognition for Ben Westland for his service to the citizens of Portland and Oregon and the integrity in which he lived his life. He made a positive difference for countless Oregonians.
Well, thank you, Mayor Adams. And it was really, to say that it's a privilege to have served with Ben and to know him is not really accurate. People that knew Ben will probably only appreciate what I would say about Ben as much because it really took knowing Ben to really understand what made him so unique. Ben, at one time in Oregon politics, would have been a garden variety Republican, but Ben wasn't a different Republican. The Republican Party changed and became extremely different kind of organization than Ben Westland. Ben Westland, all of us knew in the legislature, was a really a historic, typical Oregon Republican, a very moderate Tom McCall-like person who saw problems and looked for solutions. What was striking about Ben was not that he thought so much like the traditional Oregon moderate political leaders such as Tom McCall and Mark Hatfield and others before Ben, but it was that he did it in a caucus of Republicans that were oftentimes hostile to his beliefs. So here in Portland, it's not politically risky to stand up for gay rights. It's not politically risky to advocate for taxation that actually pays for services such as schools. And I served with Ben when he was co-chair of Ways and Means in the 2001 session and the myriad 2002 special sessions. What was fascinating about Ben is that he believed in all of those things. And I would go off to the Democratic caucus where we agreed with Ben, and he would go off to a Republican caucus to God knows what happened in that room to him for standing up and saying the things that he believed. So it's not courageous for me to believe in gay rights and equal taxation of the rich and the not so rich and to believe corporations should pay their fair share. That's pretty standard fare for a Portland Democrat. But for a Republican in the 1990s and the first decade of the 2000s to believe and stand up for those principles just says volumes about his character. I mean, leadership is literally being a person that is out in front by yourself. And the term is often overused. Ben was a leader. And you can tell a lot by a person by those that are their friends. So Ben had friends certainly that were Republicans, but nobody admired Ben more than the gay and lesbian community. Kate Brown, as the family and friends of Ben know, considered Ben a hero. Not because he believed in the things that a lot of us believe in, but he did it in an environment that it could not have been very helpful for him. So you had that side of Ben that was this, and we all knew it working with Ben, that he was this very unique person. But then you had this other side of Ben that only those that knew him better than his public persona really appreciated, and that was his sense of humor. And I have been known to get kind of wired up before I give a speech. I've been known to get pretty focused, and Ben was known to make fun of people like me. So when he knew I was gearing up for a speech, he sat in front of me and to the left. He would come back and at my desk do one of two things or both, take my microphone away and my speech. So when I got called on by the speaker, we used to push a button to get in the queue and the speaker would call you in order and I would be all focused on what I was going to say and I would stand up and my microphone had been disconnected and was gone and always was in the top drawer of Ben's desk, and usually my speech as well. So I got to go stand over at somebody else's desk and give a speech from memory, which so Ben was very helpful in getting me to learn my speeches from heart, by heart. And he was just just one of the most decent, kind people that I've known, but particularly in a legislature that was so polarized between Democrats and Republicans, he was just a breath of fresh air, and is sorely missed.
Here, can I add a? Randy speaks for the whole council, and I wanted to add two additional parts of his life from the perspective of someone that did not have the honor of serving with him on a regular basis, but knew him in a different setting. And that was through my service on the Oregon Cultural Trust Board. And Ben was the liaison from the legislature during part of my service, and I'm glad that Chris Darcy, the executive director, is here. And I think that's when we first met, and I knew he was different just because of his sense of humor at our meetings and the way he kept our meetings loose. But he, there would be no Oregon Cultural Trust without Ben Westlin. And the amount of money that travels to every county of the state every year to support arts and heritage and culture is a direct legacy of that. And while Portland certainly gives a disproportionate amount of money to the trust, we also get money back to support all kinds of good causes. And there are some people who think the Oregon Cultural Trust is the most innovative funding mechanism for the arts that any state has developed in the nation. And it would not have happened had Ben Westlin not helped conceive it and then make it happen. So I would say that on behalf of the Cultural Trust and all the arts organizations around the state that have benefited, tremendous legacy. And I, as a board member, am extremely grateful that I had the chance to serve with him. The mayor in his resolution mentioned Ben's service as treasurer. Thanks to his leadership and the hard work, I was one of the lucky parents who got a check in the mail to cover the losses that occurred in our college savings account for my daughter. And that was Ben working with the Attorney General to recover that money. And it made my daughter's account whole. And, you know, we work hard in the public sector, and we, you know, my wife's a teacher. We appreciated very much having that settlement done. And it was, I think, we're one of the first states in the nation that settled on favorable terms. And the final thing I just want to note is that when the memorial service was held in Salem in the chambers, my friend Randall Edwards called me and said, "Do you want to go down?" And I said, "Sure." I wish I had known him better, but one thing about a memorial service is, you know, you have a chance to really get to know the person. And so I drove down in a car with Randall Edwards and his parents, and I learned along the way that Randall's father had been his professor at Whitman College. And we say, this is a small state and a small city. That was over the top. And Chris had called ahead and said, "Would you save me a seat?" I've never been on the floor of the legislature before. It's the first time, Randy, that I've ever been allowed on the floor. So I, being the most junior person in my delegation, I was charged with holding down the seats. So I was fending off Margaret Carter and other people and holding five seats. And somehow, actually, I got the seat that the sign said it was. It had previously been the seat of the speaker. The conservative Republican from, pardon me?
Minnis,
Karen Minnis' seat. But I sat with Randall and his parents, and Ted Wheeler joined us, and we were all there, and we had the honor for the next 2 hours or so of hearing the great stories and testimonials. And Betsy Johnson's a great public speaker, but, I mean, it was memorable. And Dr. Alan Bates, who I guess was his closest friend, and his personal stories were very meaningful. So it was an honor to not only know Ben Westlin, but to be at that event, that public event, and to learn the breadth of his service. And it was very inspiring. And I would say for me and for all of us as people trying to make a difference in public life. What a wonderful role model. And so it's an honor for me to be on a council that joins with the mayor in this recognition.
So I believe that you can tell a lot about a person in how they behave to somebody that others might not consider important, and how they behave when they don't know that anybody's watching. I met Ben at the 2007 AFL-CIO convention in Seaside. I was there as a delegate for the Oregon Nurses Association, and I was also at the time running for city council. And all the candidates who were running, Ben, of course, was running for state treasurer, we all got to do a two-minute dog and pony show, and I went back to my delegation, and most other people disappeared. After the day's events had finished at the convention, we were invited to canvass with Working America for healthcare. And lo and behold, who is there ready to knock on doors in Seaside but Ben Westland? And not only that, but he said, "Hi, Amanda, how is it going? How is the campaign going?" So he had bothered to take the time. I mean, he didn't know that a registered nurse and a mom had a chance of getting elected to the Portland City Council. You know, for all he probably knew, I could have been, had no hope at all. But he bothered to take the time to recognize me and then knocked on doors in Seaside. And I tell you, there were not that many people home in Seaside at 5:30 on a weekday evening. So we were leaving a lot of healthcare pamphlets on people's doors. It wasn't like he was going to get a lot of recognition for what he did, but he canvassed the whole time. And it just showed his dedication to what he believed in and how he lived his life. And so I'm really grateful that you came here and gave us this opportunity to honor him.
Well, I didn't know Ben that well, but I have a very vivid recollection of the first time we met and actually had a chance to talk. And that was just about 2 years ago, almost exactly, on Earth Day. And Ben was at Selwood Park, as was I. I was at the time in charge of the Office of Sustainable Development and was just walking around and really had an interesting time. First time, as I said, we actually formally met. And I always remember how just enthusiastic he was about the prospects of being treasurer, with particularly the thoughts of what the state could be doing to promote sustainability. And he was just brimming with ideas and enthusiasm for the job, and I really enjoyed that experience. And I'm sad to see that his career was cut way too short, and my sincere condolences to the family, but he leaves a good legacy behind.
So thank you for sharing Ben with us and for supporting his service to this city and the region and the state. We're indebted to him, and we're indebted to all of you. So thank you. Betcha. And we will mail you the a framed proclamation, so you'll have that. And you're welcome to stay and see local democracy work. It's not always pretty. Or you can enjoy what is looking like a pretty decent day out there. So we're glad you're
here. By Portland standards.
By Portland standards, yes. So we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Warren?
Yes.
All right.
So, Chris.
All right. So we are talking points. Okay. So the 315 is going to be, unless there's objections, the 315 is continued to June 10th at 3 p.m. This is a placeholder date and time. We are working on an evening hearing, but we need to announce something today in order to move it forward. My purpose in the delay is to spend more time on an operational side, reverse engineering from how do we actually, in the real world, make routes to schools safer, as opposed to sort of legal process. I'd like to actually get improvements on the ground. It's going to take us some time to sort of look at that. So unless there's objections, 599 is continued as I stated. All right, that gets us to 2 p.m. time certain. Can you please read item number 597?
I'm sorry, Shane, what?
Carla, do you read the introduction for, or the title, and then I'll start the script?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. You said 597 and 598, Mayor?
Yes, that would be great.
597, consider the proposal of Multnomah County applicant and the recommendation from the hearings officer for approval of a Greenway Goal exception and comprehensive map amendment to allow placement of fill within the Willamette River Greenway setback area located at the Selwood Bridge and vicinity, LU09160242GECP. And 598, approve a statewide planning goal exception, Greenway goal exception, and associated comprehensive plan amendment to authorize the placement of fill within the Willamette Greenway setback area, generally at the west end of the Selwood Bridge, LU09160242GECP.
Good afternoon. Excuse me.
Before you start. A few words for those in the audience. This is an evidentiary hearing. This means you may submit new evidence to the council in support of your arguments. Testimony concerning the hearing officer's recommendation will be heard as follows. We will begin with a staff report by BDS staff for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, the city council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The applicant will go first and will have 15 minutes to address the council. After the applicant, the council will hear from individuals or organizations who support the applicant's proposal. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak. Next, council will hear from persons or organizations who oppose the applicant's proposal. Again, each person will have 3 minutes. If there was testimony in opposition to the applicant's proposal, the applicant will have 5 additional minutes to rebut that testimony given in opposition to the proposal. The council may then close the hearing and deliberate. The council may vote today on the hearing officer's recommendation. If the vote is a tentative vote, the council will set a future date for the adoption of findings and a final vote on the hearing officer's recommendation. If the council takes a final vote on the findings and recommendation today, that will conclude the matter before council. I would like to announce several guidelines for those who will be addressing City Council today. First, submitting evidence into the record. Any letters or documents you wish to become part of the record should be given to the council clerk after you testify. Similarly, the original or a copy of any slides, photographs, drawings, maps, videos, or other items you show to the council during your testimony, including any PowerPoint presentations, should be given to the council clerk to make sure they become a part of the official record. Two, testimony must be directed to the approval criteria. Any testimony, arguments, and evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for this land use review or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code that you would believe apply to the decision. The BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as part of their staff report to council. Three, issues must be raised with specificity. You must raise an issue clearly enough to give the council and the parties an opportunity to respond to that issue. If you do not, you will be precluded from appealing to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. And finally, the applicant must identify constitutional challenges to the conditions of approval. Additionally, if the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow the council to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court to challenge the conditions of approval. Mr. Mayor, I believe it's your turn.
Does anyone in the council have any ex parte contacts to report? Does anyone in the council have any reason that they cannot fully participate in an unbiased manner in this hearing?
Mayor, I just have a question. Is the Kogan letter of April 27, 2010, is that part of the official record?
I just received that, Stacy. Have you seen that letter?
So I have not seen it yet.
Each of us up here has received a copy of a letter from the county, so I just want to make sure that's part of the record.
Shane, you have that, don't you? I gave you that copy.
If it's not, it can be introduced during the test. This is an evidentiary hearing, so that their new testimony can be admitted.
So we'll make sure it gets done. Before you start, is anyone signed up to testify?
I believe the two who signed up are the applicants.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I think you said it in a different way, but just to make sure that there's no conflicts of interest.
I already did ex parte and, yeah.
And conflicts of interest. Okay.
Any conflicts of interest up here? Just keep in mind that there's no one in the room thus far that's opposing this.
I think that's my cue to start.
That's a cue to everybody.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is...
I don't know what the council's going to do. There's no one out there that's going to testify.
I appreciate that.
But we are explaining it to the public as well. So.
Okay. Yeah, just do it quickly.
How's that? Okay. My name is Stacey Castleberry, and I am... here with my colleague Sylvia Kate from the Bureau of Development Services, and we're the two BDS staff members who reviewed the proposal for fill in the Greenway setback against the zoning code's approval criteria for a Greenway goal exception and a comprehensive plan amendment. The Selwood Bridge is structurally deficient and functionally obsolete and must be replaced. The existing bridge is about 30 feet wide. The new bridge that's proposed will be approximately 64 feet wide and will include two travel lanes, bike lanes, pedestrian sidewalks, and a streetcar line, and it will be shifted about 15 feet south of the existing bridge alignment. Other project elements that the applicant proposes include an 18-foot-wide multi-use trail from the bridge up to Miles Place, and also shifting the alignment of the Willamette Shoreline trolley slightly eastward. To construct a replacement bridge, approximately 4,500 cubic yards of fill must be placed within the Willamette Greenway setback. This is to build the bridge and its approach lanes. The zoning code requires a Greenway goal exception for bridge ramps that are constructed on fill as opposed to pilings or piers when the fill occurs in the Greenway setback. The zoning code also requires an amendment to the city's comprehensive plan for statewide planning goal exceptions such as this. And the zoning code also requires city council approval of all statewide planning goal exceptions such as this. There are three sets of approval criteria that apply to Greenway goal exceptions. The first is approval criteria from the state code, and that's found in Oregon Administrative Rule Section 660-004-0022, subsection 6. There's also approval criteria from our zoning code. Approval criteria for a Greenway goal exception are found in Portland Zoning Code Section 33.440.360, and approval criteria for a comprehensive plan amendment are found in our zoning code, Section 33.810.050. The project area occurs, of course, near the Selwood Bridge and on the west bank of the Willamette River. The project area starts about 1 mile north of the southern Portland city limits line and goes north to southwest Miles Place. And the project area is roughly between Macadam Avenue and the river. Some of the familiar landmarks in this area are the Riverview Cemetery to the west, Powers Marine Park between Macadam and the river, the bridge itself, the Staff Jennings Marina just north of the bridge, and Willamette Moorage Park further north. The zoning in the area includes open space, commercial, and residential zones, but the reason we're all sitting here today is because the area is zoned with the city's Greenway Overlay Zone. The land between Macadam and the river is all in the Willamette Greenway Overlay Zone, as you would expect. Many of the approach ramps will be constructed within the Willamette Greenway setback in this area. This is the west end of the proposed bridge. On the east side, this will not be the case, and this is not part of the Greenway Goal Exception Review. Which brings us to this slide, which is what I consider to be one of the most important slides today. This shows you the focus of or the limits of the Greenway Goal Exception Review. It's limited to these six polygons of where fill will occur in the Greenway setback for the bridge. The rest of the bridge is not part of this Greenway Goal Exception Review. I'd like to show you just a few photos of some of the project area, starting with this area along Macadam, where some of the fill will occur, just to characterize the area for you. You can see the forested hill slopes coming down from the left side or from the west in the area of Riverview Cemetery, and then crossing Macadam Avenue, continuing downslope to the Willamette Shoreline trolley tracks, and continuing down, it's a pretty narrow corridor, to the Willamette River. The next photos are of Powers Marine Park. This is the formal entrance to Powers Marine Park, very near the bridge itself. And if you were to walk south from there along the beaches of the Willamette, you'd see some of the remaining riparian forest that goes right down to the water's edge. This is one of two proposed mitigation sites where there'll be fish enhancement mitigation activities, especially for off-channel fish habitat. Just to give you some perspective, here's a photograph of the project area from the east bank looking west. You can see Staff Jennings Marina to the north, again Powers Marine Park south of the bridge, and again lots of forest in that area going right down to the edge of the water. And just to give it equal time, a view of the bridge from the west side, where much of the work will occur. This is where the trail goes underneath the bridge into Powers Marine Park. And this last series of photos is of the second mitigation area up at the Stevens Creek confluence with the Willamette River. The culverts in the foreground are proposed to be replaced with fish-friendly culverts. And this is an area where off-channel fish habitat is already being enhanced. The Bureau of Environmental Services undertook a very large project to install some of this large wood along Stevens Creek already. And that leads us to the approval criteria. For the Greenway Goal Exception, there's two sets of approval criteria, the state and the city approval criteria. They can be summarized as the project would have no significant adverse effect on Greenway qualities. The proposal would not reduce lands available for river-dependent or river-related use. The proposal provides a significant public benefit. The proposal is compatible with natural greenway qualities and adjacent uses. The proposal cannot be accommodated without a goal exception. And there are no alternatives with better economic, social, environmental, and energy consequences. With regards to the first criterion, the mitigation plan, which includes both these fish enhancement areas at Stevens Creek and Powers Marine Park, and also forest enhancement in the form of planting bottomland forest and purchasing existing forest land for future protection. The mitigation actions went a long way towards the hearings officer finding that the proposal would have no significant adverse effect on greenway values. The hearings officer also finds that since the new bridge will be replaced primarily in close proximity to where the existing facilities occur, there would be no significant reduction in sites available for river-dependent or river-related uses. The hearings officer also found that to the extent that the fill in the Greenway setback allows the greater project, the replacement of the actual bridge, to occur, it will certainly contribute to the overall project's significant public benefit. The hearings officer found that since the replacement bridge will be located primarily within existing public right-of-way, the existing greenway values will be protected to the greatest extent possible. And lastly, the hearings officer found that construction of the bridge on pilings or piers would add at least $2 million to the project, and further, that the applicant's alternatives analysis shows there are no other locations with better economic, social, or environmental consequences. With regards to the comprehensive plan amendment findings, the hearings officer found that review of the goals, policies, and metro titles indicated that the requested fill in the Greenway setback is on balance consistent with and supportive of the city's comprehensive plan. In summary, the hearings officer found that the proposed fill meets the relevant state and city approval criteria for an exception to statewide land use planning goal 15, and that the requested Greenway goal exception is consistent with the city's comprehensive plan. And he recommended approval of the statewide planning goal exception, the city's Greenway goal exception, and the city's comprehensive plan amendment with some minor conditions. That concludes my presentation.
Discussion with council?
I just had two questions. Where is the applicant proposing to acquire, you said, private forest lands? And then secondly, I wasn't quite clear on what the mitigation is on the Powers Marine Park. I mean, I understand the Stevens Creek, but I wasn't quite sure what was being proposed for Powers Marine Park.
In both cases, the proposed mitigation is conceptual at this point. And Multnomah County has some draft agreements in the works with our Portland Parks and Recreation Bureau in order to identify which property would be purchased. The county is proposing to fund the purchase of that property, but I don't believe it's been pinned down yet which property will be purchased. And the description of the riparian enhancement projects at Powers Marine Park concern two creeks that are identified, and I don't actually have a specific site plan yet from the applicant. The description of the project, as I recall, was off-channel fish habitat enhancement, and I don't have much more information than that. That information will be fine-tuned when the applicant comes in for development-specific Greenway reviews for the actual work.
Okay. Thanks.
And in the hearings office's report, it says that BDS was recommending denial because there wasn't adequate information. Do you think that do you agree with the hearings officer that the additional information that was provided would have resulted in your recommending approval?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Other council discussion? Thank you very much for your succinct presentation. We'll now hear from the applicant. Welcome to the City Council Chambers. We're glad you're here. You will have a total of 10 minutes.
Good afternoon. I'm Ian Cannon, Bridge Services Manager for Multnomah County. Before I move into my remarks, I'd like to read the letter from Chair Kogan and Commissioner Kafoury. Dear Mayor and Commissioners, we appreciate your action today to approve a Greenway Goal Exception and Comprehensive Map Amendment to allow placement of fill within the Willamette River Greenway Setback Area located at the Selwood Bridge and vicinity. This item was brought forward by Multnomah County as an important step in the Selwood Bridge replacement project. City and county staff have worked hard to resolve issues related to this exception, and we ask you to adopt this amendment today. The Selwood Bridge is an important piece of our local and regional transportation network. It carries over 30,000 vehicles per day. However, current weight limitations restrict heavier vehicles, including freight, buses, and some emergency vehicles, and facilities for cyclists and pedestrians are far below standard. When finished, the new bridge will remedy these shortcomings. Buses will resume crossing the bridge, we will provide dramatically improved facilities for cyclists and pedestrians, and the bridge will accommodate a possible future streetcar line. In addition, the project will improve the parks on the west side of the river, including a regional path from the bridge north to Miles Street. Approval today of a Greenway Goal exception is important to the Sellwood Bridge project because it is one of several regulatory actions required before the Federal Highway Administration will issue the Record of Decision for the project and is required to ultimately allow the project and mitigations to be constructed as proposed. Your leadership to date, with unanimous support of the preferred alternative and provision of funding for replacement of the bridge, has moved this project forward. We look forward to working closely together through the planning and construction stages of this important bridge. Sincerely, Jeff Kogan, Chair, Deborah Cofori, Commissioner, District 1. First, I'd like to thank Mayor Adams and the City Council for your support of the project, including your unanimous support for the preferred alternative. I'd like to recognize staff at the various bureaus, including Transportation, Parks, Development Services, and Environmental Services, who have helped us to understand the city's needs, helped us to develop solutions, and been good partners as the project has moved forward. We're grateful for this assistance. With the deteriorated condition of the old bridge, this project is crucial to the city's and the region's transportation system. The new bridge will provide critical connections for pedestrians, cyclists, motor vehicles, and transit. Much has happened in the years since I was here to ask for your approval of the preferred alternative. We've refined the preferred alternative to shrink the footprint of the intersection with Highway 43, reduced the impact to sensitive parklands, improved the safety of access onto Highway 43, and decreased the probability of cut-through traffic in the Sellwood neighborhood. We anticipate the Federal Highway Administration issuing the Record of Decision for the project late this summer. The Record of Decision is required before we can move into more detailed design, acquisition of right-of-way, and ultimately construction. This Greenway Goal exception is required by FHWA before the Record of Decision can be issued. In order to build the project as envisioned in the preferred alternative, it will be necessary to place fill in the Greenway. This is what triggers the need for the exception to the Greenway Goal. On the west side of the river, the project is on steep terrain. We are trying to squeeze an enhanced interchange, new bridge ramps for vehicles, new ramps for cyclists and pedestrians, a regional bicycle and pedestrian trail, and a double-track streetcar line into the space between Riverview Cemetery and the river, while minimizing impacts to Powers Marine Park and Willamette Moorage Park. These new facilities must either be built on structure or on fill. If we used structure to avoid fill, it would require at least a third of a mile of elevated structure similar to the top photograph, possibly on multiple levels. This would have a significant visual impact and be visible from many vantage points. Instead of that, we are proposing to construct a bioengineered steep and slope. This is a retained fill structure that will have the face vegetated with appropriate species and blend in with the natural appearance of the park. The fill is necessary to support the multiple uses proposed for the area. We will be removing fill in other areas with a net reduction of fill in the Greenway of about 36,000 cubic yards, enough to fill 3,600 dump trucks. The project is also proposing other mitigations to include paying for parkland to replace parkland lost to the project, replacing lost forest vegetation, restoring streams south of the bridge in Powers Marine Park, enhancing fish passage at Stevens Creek north of the bridge, and replacing the rudimentary bicycle pedestrian path from the bridge north to Mile Street with a full standard facility. Because of all the mitigation and the design elements that we are proposing, the hearings officer found that we'll be leaving this area better than we find it now. We need this exception to the Greenway Goal in order to move this critical project forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Adams and Commissioners, my name is Mark Greenfield, and I'm going to be addressing the compliance with the legal standards. This Greenway Goal exception is for a very limited purpose of authorizing the placement of fill within the Greenway setback on the West Riverbank. Stacy has summarized for you what the applicable criteria are. I'm only going to address some of them. As I do so, I would ask that you please recognize that this project does not cite any new uses within the Greenway. The Sellwood Bridge is an existing use, and it predates both the Greenway statutes and LCDC's Greenway Goal. Also, the Willamette Shoreline Trolley Line and the Bicycle Pedestrian Path are existing uses within the Greenway. Under the authorities of the Greenway statutes and Greenway Goal, existing uses of lands within the Greenway may continue, and that's exactly what this project aims to do. Please note as well that for all of these uses, the replacement facilities are predominantly within existing public right-of-way that is being used for transportation purposes, and this substantially reduces the overall adverse effect of the project. The hearings officer found that the use will not significantly adversely affect greenway values. He said the legal standard is not that there be no adverse effect, but that there be no significant adverse effect. He concluded that there will be some adverse effect, but with mitigation, there would be no net adverse effect on greenway values, and hence no significant adverse effect. He found also that the use will provide a significant public benefit. In his words, the project will increase the city's residential quality and revive economic vitality with the resumption of a multimodal transportation link across the Willamette River that includes transit service and freight movement. This project will allow TriMet to resume bus service over the Selwood Bridge, allow freight movement to reoccur over that bridge, and significantly improve bicycle and pedestrian access and mobility both within and across the greenway. The hearings officer found that the project requires fill. He said the fill is needed to raise the bridge approach to the bridge deck span. It's needed for connections to roadways and to construct the 18-foot-wide multi-use trail and relocate the Willamette Shoreline Trolley. He found that it's not reasonable to construct necessary bridge-related improvements on the west side through the use of piers or through pillars, given constraints of available space, topography, and existing uses. And this, of course, is why we're before you, to get the approval to place the fill in the greenway. Finally, he found that there are no better locations anywhere else for this project. He found that any bridge crossing type anywhere along the river would require fill in the greenway, and locating a new bridge anywhere else on land that's already in a predominantly natural state would have significantly greater greenway impacts than replacing it at its current location. Also, it's important to note that reconstructing the bridge at its current location is already part of your acknowledged transportation system plan and Metro's regional transportation plan. The hearings officer concluded that the proposed location creates the fewest negative impacts. Your hearings officer finds compliance with the applicable legal standards and recommends approval. Multnomah County respectfully requests that you adopt his recommendation as your decision. Thank you very much, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Questions? Thank you all. Is there anyone that wishes to oppose
this? We have one supporter who signed up now.
We do?
Yeah, Emily okay. Roth.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Talking about something other than Forest Park, I'm doing okay today.
Ross Island.
Ross Island. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and City Commissioners. I'm Emily Roth. I'm the Natural Resource Planner for Parks. I've been representing Parks on the Selwood Bridge Replacement Project and working with the county on the enhancements for this project. We've also been working with the county on what you'll hear later about, which is called 4F enhancements, that they are required to fulfill it also in order to move forward in this project. Have you ever wondered what 4F comes from? Technically, it's a section number in a federal regulation for impacts and mitigations to parks and other recreation. I like to think of 4F as actions that are flora, fauna, and fish friendly. And that is what we are trying to make this project. First of all, Parks understands that BDS is required to review the project within the Greenway Code and make their findings accordingly. However, at Parks, we look at the project area of the Selwood Bridge replacement from a South Reach Willamette perspective and the opportunities to improve both fish and wildlife habitat in this valuable river corridor. Parks owns and manages Ross Island, Selwood Riverfront Parks, Oaks Bottom, Powers Marine Park, Willamette Moorage, and Willamette Park, a very significant riparian corridor and river access in this part of the river. We are looking at this as an opportunity to work with community partners and other agencies to restore streams, remove invasive species, and plant native species along the river. This project will provide necessary funding and the ability to remove fill placed in the floodplain at Powers Marine Park, enlarge the Willamette River floodplain, and provide off-channel habitat for fish, and improve the wildlife habitat at all our parks along the river. The replacement of the culvert under the rail line at Stevens Creek will improve habitat and extend the Stevens Creek Enhancement Project that BES completed over a year ago. And we are also going to work the county change design to construct vegetative walls at Willamette Marsh Park instead of concrete walls, making them more wildlife friendly. You've heard that with this greenway that they are going to be required to place fill, and the fill is going to go into our parks. At parks, we have a policy of no net loss of parkland. The Selwood Bridge project requires over an acre of property from Powers Marine Park. The county has agreed to pay parks for both the land and the administrative costs for replacing the land needed for the bridge. Parks has a person working to purchase natural area lands from willing sellers, and their contribution will be to find land along the river for replacement. The other valuable aspect of this project to parks is recreation. As you know, the bridge will provide a greatly improved bicycle and pedestrian connection from Selwood to the west side of the river. This connection will be used by bicycle commuters to go downtown and to OHSU. Having learned our lessons from the Springwater and the Willamette, parks wanted to separate commuting, higher speed traffic, from walkers and others enjoying the current Greenway Trail between the bridge and Willamette Park. The county has agreed to build an additional mile of regional trail from Willamette Marsh Park to Southwest Miles Place on the south side of Willamette Park. The regional trail will be adjacent to the railroad tracks. The extension of the trail outside of the project area will require minor amounts of fill in the park. It will provide a greater amount of safety for both bicycle commuters and pedestrians on the Greenway Trail. So with all these improvements and enhancement, Portland Parks is supporting the fill that is required into the Greenway Trail. And all of this will once again come forward in front of you as a formal MOU between the county and parks for your approval in a couple months. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
So is the property that parks will purchase within the project impact area?
No, it isn't. We're looking at forested upland area that's either adjacent to the project or adjacent to Oak's Bottom on the other side of the river, but it will be in proximity.
Okay, I guess that's what I meant. So it would be adjacent to
it
the
will
project
be.
Impact area.
It will be, yes.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thanks for your good work, Emily.
Thank you.
Anyone wish to any further testimony? Any follow-up you want to have? Okay. That moves us to decision-making. And I move acceptance of the staff report.
Actually, the hearings officer.
I move exception of the hearings officer's recommendation.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Fish.
Thank you to the Bureau of Development Services for an excellent presentation. Thank you to all of the participants and for the testimony. And thanks to my Parks Bureau for being vigilant on the mitigation side and working diligently to get to this point. Aye.
Saltzman.
Pleased to support this. One small step towards getting the most critical bridge replaced that we need on the Willamette River right now. Let's get that new Selwood Bridge going soon. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, in addition to the bridge, we're also improving the greenway and getting more land adjacent to it. So thank you for that presentation as far as what the mitigation is going to be. I'll look forward to some more details on that. Thank you for your diligent work on the project and for staff for their analysis. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Thank you. Can you please call the vote on the next item?
598. Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So approved. What time is it?
3
o'clock.
We are recessed till Well, I guess that's not a time certain, is it?
It isn't, but people might have been expecting the other one to happen.
Okay.
I have 600 as part of the 3:15 time certain.
Oh, it is part of it. So we are adjourned until, we are recessed until 3:15. The combatants would go to their respective corners.
So I'm sorry.
I postponed the school's part, not the park's part.
Oh, not the park's part.